Then turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 5. You know, I was looking at the other day I was watching old videos from 1890, okay? And they had like these, they were still pictures that they put together and they digitally remastered them. I posted some of those. Well, there was a parade. Roosevelt, it was the only picture they have. It's the only video pictures that they have of Roosevelt before he was paralyzed, right? And they have it actually there, and I watched that. Well, they had this parade, but on the outside of the parade, there's these young people carrying gospel signs, and they're holding them up. You got to see this video. It's unbelievable, but they're holding these gospel signs up about Jesus right there. They're not in the parade. They're outside of the parade standing up with these signs, and there's a group of them standing there outside of that parade, and I was like, well, those signs don't work. I thought it was something to see 100 years later, because you're watching this. I was fascinated by that. You're watching, these people are all dead, right? And you're watching something that took place over 100 years ago, 130 years ago. You got to see some of those digitally remastered videos. I mean, it's just a piece of history. It's amazing. But you see the gospel, and those people are standing up, and they're not ashamed. And by the way, the other thing you notice is all of those women are they're ice skating and they're doing everything and they're full dresses all the way covered. Every activity those women are doing in any of those videos, they are fully covered and they're completely modest in everything that they're doing. I thought that was fascinating because you see all these excuses. Oh, you can't do this. No, they did it all. They did it all like that. You're being fed a lie of modernism, right? It's just amazing anyway. All right, Proverbs chapter 5. We are going to talk about six ways to keep pure in a perverse world. And it's really dealing with a warning to youth and kind of instructions to youth, but it's all of us. All these principles can apply to that. And this section is from a commentary on Proverbs. And the reason I'm using this is because it's good. That's I always do, whether it's Peter Ruckman's manuscript evidence or it's James Beller's book or whatever. If something's good and biblical and right and it helps somebody, I never have a problem with borrowing somebody's brains to do it. Amen. And this is, I saw this about a month ago, and I read it and I was like, this is really good. After I get done with The Strange Woman, I want to use these 6 points and teach from Proverbs chapter 5 on how to keep from perversity, how to keep pure in a perverse world, and how to keep you from immorality, to keep you from sin in a perverse world. You know, in order to help people, you really have to talk about the dirty, the down and gritty, dirty, nasty stuff of the world, not in the sense of defiling people with it, but really getting to the basis of man's nature. And understanding that. And Proverbs gives you wisdom. And it unveils all these characters that are out there in the world that your children are going to face in this world. And I've found this series, there's like, I don't know how many messages we've done, 20 or 30 of them in this series so far. And I'm not done. We're going to keep going through all these characters in Proverbs to warn the children and to warn us. But it teaches us about these people that you're going to face in life. And that God has equipped you. You have to believe in God's word. You have to believe that God has everything for you to live this Christian life and be successful. You have to believe that God has given you everything you need in this book to do that. Like God didn't leave anything out for you. Do you believe that? I do. I'm grateful for that I can open the pages of this book. And if I'm struggling with something or if I'm having a hard time or if I need wisdom and instruction, I can pray and God will give me what I need in his word and he will help me. God doesn't make me go to a psychologist or a psychiatrist or the world for answers. In fact, God tells me, don't do that. Don't go to the world. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. God means it when he says it. You just have to explore it and find out in his word where it is and study it. And preachers have to preach on it. You know, they've got to preach good doctrine and to help encourage fathers and mothers to do what God has commanded them to do, and to strengthen them so they can strengthen their children and teach their children and warn them. Children don't come with character. They don't come automatically with character, and they don't come automatically with understanding and wisdom. They don't come with prudence already. They don't. They need it. They have to grow in that, and we have to teach it. But you know what? In order for us to teach it, we have to learn it ourselves. We have to look at it. So don't, you know, sometimes children do things because they lack discernment. You don't need to beat them over the head. You try to teach them first and instruct them, and they don't know. They don't understand things. Sometimes they just don't. Children, what they don't understand many times is they understand the pleasure that comes from doing something that they want to do. And I'm not even speaking perversely. I'm talking about anything that they understand the pleasure of that, but they don't understand. They don't have the wisdom to understand why that's dangerous for them. Why? So God's word shows us why things are dangerous, why there's things out there that are dangerous. There are people that are dangerous for you. There are people that you must stay away from in your life. You must stay away from them. These people can be some family members that it is not profitable for you to be around. Amen. That they are not good for you to be around. There's some of your fathers and mothers have had to separate from family members that were not good for their family to be around. They knew that it wouldn't be good to raise their children around them, so they separated from them. They got away, or God separated them from them. Amen. God did that. You didn't have to. God did it. God did that with me. He got me away from family members that were destructive for me, that would have hurt my ministry later and would have hurt me and walking with God. So God separated me from them, got me away from them. You have to teach your children the same thing, that there are people that they need to stay away from in life. And by the, you young men, as you get out into, you know, college and trade schools and the workforce and everything else, there are men that you need to stay away from. Now, you may have to work around them, but you do not have to fellowship with them. You can be kind to them. You can be cordial to them. There's nothing wrong with that. But when it comes to making friendships with evil men, do not do it. Your friends are in this room. Amen. I mean that. I'm not saying there won't be any others, but I'm saying your friends are in this room. Right. The people that you will pray with, confide with, that you will console with, that you will ask advice to, and all, they're in this room. Look around you. They're here. And there's others in the world. I understand that. There may be others in other churches and other Christians, but primarily, many of the friends that you're going to have are right in this room with you. Why? Well, they're going the same direction you're going. That's why. Well, they're going the direction I hope to and pray that you want to go. If you don't want to go that way, then you better pray to God to change your wanter, because it's got a problem. Amen. Your wanter is defiled. I believe that. I believe God's people are the greatest people on this earth. I believe that. I absolutely believe that. I do believe that. When it says I will get me to the great men, it ain't talking about President Trump. It ain't talking about President Biden. It ain't talking about Brother Bush. It ain't talking about any of those guys. It's talking about God's people. Men that are right in this room and women that are right in this room with you. That fight the good fight every day. Amen. And I'm serious. You better get that down now and get it understood now. Don't you look starry-eyed into these heathens out there. Bunch of dirty, rotten heathens. You know if you bring that garbage to me, I'm going to tell you the truth about what these people are. Bunch of heathens. Is what they are. You won't have to understand. Well, I figured out, it took me a little while, but I figured out I'm really not that nice guy that, like, I mean, I'm not that little nice country town preacher that everybody liked with suspenders on and a straw hat and everybody, like, I don't get to be that guy. Brother Paul, I noticed, you know those guys, right? I don't get to be that guy. Yeah. Amen. God says you got to be the man that stands up and speaks the truth and gives it, tells the hard truth. It's important. Why? Because this ain't Mayberry. And Mayberry is bad enough. This ain't Leave It to Beaver. It's getting bad. It's getting dark real quick. Right? Remember, boys don't know their boys, girls don't know their girls. Outside of here. Like, you better be careful who you marry. make sure they're girls and boys. make sure you know where they're from. At least have a good, I need to see your birth certificate. Not sure about you. Look, I know this is an awkward question, but can I look at your birth certificate? Please. That's right. Alex Jones can be fooled, right? Right. We need to make sure what's going on here. Oh, scary times. Amen. All right. Proverbs chapter 5. We're going to look at these things. Lord willing, we'll get through them. Amen. But if not, we'll pick it up next week. That's okay. That's how it works. My son, attend unto my wisdom and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil, but her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell, lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life. Her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart from the words of my, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh to the door of her house, lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel, lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. And thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to them that instructed me. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. Drink waters out of thine own cistern, and running waters out of thine own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad, and rivers of waters in the streets. Let them be only thine own, and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as the loving hind in pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman, and embrace the bosom of a stranger? For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly, he shall go astray. Father, Lord, help us. Thank you so much for your book. Lord, thank you. We have it. We hold it. We read it. Lord, may we be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, number one here. Right, six necessary things that we must do to avoid the pollution of immorality. Number one, give attendance to wisdom. Look what it says in Proverbs 5, 1 and 2. My son, attend unto my wisdom and bow thine ear to my understanding. Give attendance to wisdom. The foundation for victory over temptation is an intimate relationship with God through his word. If you would keep from immorality, you must have an intimate relationship with God from the book. It's got to be through the word of God. This is how you get to know God. You do not get to know God by man's ways or by any other way, but by reading and praying and meditating and hearing the word of God preach. It's all centered around the book. Everything, your whole life. If this sin will keep you, this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book, right? I think D.L. Moody said that, but it's very accurate. It's very true, isn't it? That if you don't cling to this book, you'll cling to sin. You can't cling to both. It won't work. This book will root out the sin of your life. Amen. It'll root out the intentions that are wrong in your heart. Oh, does it ever. God's word gets down not only to the actions of a man, but to the intents of his heart. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing and dividing asunder of soul and spirit. It pierces through. It discerns. It gets down to the thoughts and intents of the heart. Man, God really makes us judge our own motives sometimes with his word. You know, sometimes we can get morbid with that. We have to be careful not to be consumed with that, right? But We can judge our, but God's word teaches us and it pierces through. So if you would be kept from sin, then let God's word judge your motive, right? Judge your motives. Like, okay, for a lady, it can judge, a young lady can judge my motives. Well, why do I dress the way I dress? Right? Why do I communicate the way I communicate? Do I communicate in a flirtatious manner? Do I communicate in a way that will send a wrong message to men that I do not want to send? Amen. That's important, right? But that's not for me to judge. That's for you and the Word of God to sink into your heart and you say, Lord, please help me to judge, make sure my motives are correct, right? It's not saying that I'm going to be, I can't be, I don't know why you do what you do, right? You don't know why I do what I do. We hope to God that we do it for the grace of God and to love God and to do right, right? But I can't judge that stuff. I'm not a perfect judge of that. But God will take His book, and if you'll read it, He'll judge the motives of your heart with it. He'll show you. And if your motives are wrong, you know the best part about that is you can repent and get right with God. Isn't that wonderful? It's wonderful to be a Christian. It's the most wonderful thing in all this world. Because if I'm wrong about something, there's one place that I have to go to get right. Amen. I just go to God and get my heart right. God does the work, doesn't He? Isn't that a blessing? It's a blessing to be saved, isn't it? I don't have to go blow my brains out tomorrow if I do something wrong. I can take it to God. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I don't live hopeless, friend. I live in hope. And I have the book to show me what I need and to guide me through. I'm telling you, you got to have an intimate relationship with the Word of God. You better get that book out. You better be letting God speak to your heart through the Word of God. We have to. The foundation for victory over temptation is an intimate relationship with God through His Word. God doesn't say, well, just you need to love God. Well, God doesn't tell you to love Him and not tell you how to love Him. He doesn't do that. God doesn't do that to you. God's not like a woman that never makes up her mind or whatever when you try to, well, what's wrong with you? Nothing. Nothing. Wait, I saw that. That's something. That ain't nothing. That's something. That is not nothing. That was something. Right? God's not like that. And by the way, that's a tactic of manipulation you shouldn't use. If you got something wrong, just say it. But between a husband and wife, just say it. Just deal with it. No. Be careful. Don't drop the bomb too hard on a guy. They'll blow their hearts will blow up on it. But tell them. Yeah. I got struggles with this, or I don't like this, or I'm upset about this. You need to have those conversations as a husband and wife. You need to be able to do that. Amen. And children, they're struggling with something. They need to be able to talk to you. Right? It's important. But God tells you how to do that. God tells you in His Word how to deal with temptation. You don't need to look around. I need to look at that. No, you need to look in God's book. He tells you. We must attend unto wisdom. To attend to God's wisdom is to take the Bible seriously. It's to read it and study it and memorize it and meditate in it. By this means, we learn to have the mind of Christ. Turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Oh, I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians. Let's see if I got the right verse here. Yeah, 1 Corinthians 2:15. Yeah, that's right. It's the whole ball game, right, Jacob? Verse 15 and 16, 2 Corinthians. Well, that was awkward. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now, how do we have the mind of Christ? This book. This book. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So I have to submit to it. I have to let the Word of God dwell in me richly in all wisdom. Right? That's the work that you and I do through the book. That's the work that God does, though, on our hearts, but that's the method. We must bow down the ear to wisdom. This refers to humility. See, I have to humble myself before God and acknowledge that I don't know the right way and that I am dependent upon Him and His Word. I got to admit that, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. You ever done that? Do you ever do that? I hope you do. Man, I hope there's a time. If there has never been a time in your Christian life where you cry out to God and you say, God, I have no idea what I'm doing. You are arrogant and proud then. And we all are at some points. We have to fight that, right? Somebody says, well, you must be proud. Well, every man is proud. What are you talking about? The only man that wasn't proud was Jesus Christ. Every man is proud. Every man has to battle pride. You don't think we have to battle pride? My goodness, you're going to battle your whole life. It's always a battle to walk in humility, right? It is. Because we like things our way. And if women think they're right in a relationship, if they think they're right in their marriage, they really want their own way. If they think their husband's wrong about something, it's hard for them to walk in humility. It's very difficult for them to do that. Because they're like, man, my husband's not right about this. Or I think my husband's not right about this. I think I know more than he does about this. You never thought that, have you, lady? You thought this was going to be about children, didn't you? There's something for everybody. It's a feast, amen? But we must bow down to wisdom. That's wisdom of the Lord. This also refers to priority. I have to give my ear to listen to God rather than the world. You know, when I got saved by the grace of God, what happened to me is the same thing that happens to all of us for the most part. The amount of growth that we grow is the amount of obedience that we have to the Lord and His Word. Isn't that right, brother? Brother Paul said when he got saved by the grace of God, he said he went to his pastor and said, Pastor, I think I'm going nuts. Pastor said, oh, I think you are too. No, he didn't say that. He said, here's some pills. No, he didn't say that. What he said to Brother Paul was, he said, well, why do you feel that way? He said, well, because I keep thinking about Jesus all the time. It's like all I think about. And I don't understand why that's all I think about. And he said, well, that's because you're not losing your mind. You're getting one. God's renewing your mind. He's giving you the mind of Christ. And as the longer you submit to the Lord, and the more you submit to God in areas, and you walk in humility. See, walking in humility is for me to see the book and not be a hearer of the word only, but a doer of the word. Be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. See, it's me following it. It's not when God showed me, well, rock music is wrong. I mean, I got saved. I was like, yeah, that's wicked. I mean, I know that's wicked. Rap music, it's wicked. All this. I mean, I just was like, no, I ain't doing that anymore. Now, there are things that God teaches you along the way that you learn more about. But you start to see things in your life of sanctification, not because you're trying to earn salvation, but because you're saved and you know that ain't right. I can't live like that. When God begins to show you in your word that you ought to submit, you ought to be baptized, you ought to join a church, you ought to live for God, you ought to be identified with the people of God, you ought to grow and learn and everything. It takes humility and submission to say, you know what, that's right, I need to do that. Somebody shows you that something in your life is not right, and you got to get that right. You can't hang on to that. You got to let that go. Then you know what? You got to repent, and you got to humble yourself and say, well, that's what God's word says. I need to submit to it. That's how you grow. You will grow. You'll make rapid progress in learning the scriptures and finding the will of God for your life, as far as the everyday will of God for your life in serving the Lord, if you submit to Him. The more you submit, the better it is. When people don't submit themselves to God, they can't resist the devil. And they get into a lot of trouble. Or they stunt their growth in the Christian life and they don't grow the way they should because they're not willing to repent. They're not willing to lay things aside. They're not really willing to walk in humility and be taught. I've been around it. I've seen it. People that don't want to be taught scripturally, they don't want to walk with God, they won't. I don't care how long they're in a church, they're not gonna. So if they're saved, something has to happen to bring them down. That's all of us. God will do something. If we walk in pride and we don't submit to God, God will do something to bring us down. He will. He will humble us. If you're God's child, you will be humbled because you are not a better parent than God is. And if your children disobey you, you teach them to obey. Right? And God teaches His children to obey. Amen. Paul said it very plainly. You're not a bunch of bastards. You have a father. And God will show you real quick that He'll remind you whose you are. Amen. It's good stuff, isn't it? I praise God for that. I'm glad. I praise God for Him doing that. God didn't lead me to myself. Don't you thank God for that? Don't you thank God for godly correction that God gives it to you? I mean, when you're going through it, you don't seem very thankful. Right? It's grievous, not joyous, and right? It's grievous to us. but it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness, don't it? Man, you get some righteousness. God drops some righteousness on you, doesn't he? Right? That's what happens to us. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God for that. Look at verse number 2, what it says here in Proverbs chapter 5. That thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. Now, the word of God gives us discretion. This is the ability to think properly about life and to make good decisions. It is godly understanding and prudent judgment and spiritual discernment. And it only comes through an intimate relationship with God and his word. There are no shortcuts to growth. You get in the book and you learn. And you grow. And God teaches you. You know, we teach that children, the children, that simple song, read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow. Remember that? Did you learn that one? Pete, did you learn that one? You must have learned a lot, man. You grew like 6'5". What are you? No. They do put fertilizer on you? What happened to you? That's right. Amen. Now you're glowing, not growing. We'll talk about that later. Right? But he's glowing. I thought there was a glow about you, Pete. I didn't know what it was. Oh, man. He's glowing and growing. Anyway, but you know something? The word of God will help you. It gives you prudent judgment and spiritual discernment to understand. But it only comes through intimacy with God's word. You're not going to be a strong Christian if you stay out of God's book. You're not going to be. No man can be strong on his own. God has made it so that there's only a few things that help you in this Christian life to grow. One is the word of God. Two is prayer and supplication. Three is the edification of the saints in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ in Ephesians chapter 4, that we may grow up into him in all things, right? That we may grow mature. That's the maturity that happens in Ephesians chapter 4. This is another way. See, you all come together and you all grow better together. That's how it works. We all grow better together. That's what happens. When you run out and try to shake the yoke off and run away, it doesn't work. What happens is you grow as a Christian the more you're together. That's what happens. Why? Well, because I don't know if you realize this, but you don't always all get along. Like, you don't always agree with each other 100% about every single little thing. You have some disagreements. And guess what you have to do? Grace has to be poured out on one another. You have to be charitable to people that you don't agree with sometimes. Because generally speaking, you agree about almost 99% of everything. That's the truth, really. You know why some people will leave? There's like this little 0.1% of something they don't agree with. And then what happens is Satan uses it, magnifies it, and it ends up being bigger than the other 99%. You're like, wait a minute. I mean, we ain't talking about no damnable heresy here. We're talking about disagreement about this or that. You're going to walk away? We're going to walk away from that? See, that you won't grow that way. Because you can run, and you ain't going to grow like that. It's staying, living for God, getting through things, struggling through things, learning to love one another. That's how you grow. Amen. It just is. You learn to love each other. That, man, you learn to look at yourself and say, man, I'm not perfect. Grace, it causes you to look at yourself first and say, man, I kind of stink too. Not as bad as Garrick, but I do. Right, Garrett? Yeah, sometimes. We all do. Right? But sometimes we have to figure, we look at ourselves and say, okay, well, that's what maturity does. That's what spiritual understanding, that's what the Word of God gives us, is that discretion. Right? It doesn't let us act on our own feelings. If you want to stay away from sin, you need discretion. Where do you get discretion? This book. And if you're going to teach your children to be wise and to be prudent, and to use discretion, you teach it from this book. You don't teach it from worldly principles. You teach it from this book. That's where you teach them to walk with God. And you teach them to walk and learn spiritual discernment. Look at things and be wise and be careful. And not jump the gun on things and take your time and be careful. And be wise about the decisions that you make in life, because they affect you. They will affect you and others. The decisions you make will affect you. All right? Number two, in order to avoid that immorality, do not listen to her words. Look at verse 3. For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. The individual who would escape the snares of immorality must carefully guard against hearing or reading words that incite one's sexual passions or lusts of the heart. Don't read and go to websites and things that are perverted, you know, specifically that you know that's what it is, right? You got to avoid that. You have to avoid men and women who speak in an off-color manner and avoid magazines and books and music and movies and television and websites that contain sexual provocations. Don't get that in your mind. Don't be visiting those places that you know for sure are gonna have that on there. I mean, you can hardly go to anything now without it being there, but you have to be careful with that, right? Things that are gonna pervert your judgment or weaken you or desensitize you to sin, right? Don't be, for instance, I know what goes on in the summertime at the beach, and I'm not gonna run out to the beach in the summertime because I know that there's going to be women there that are in bikinis or they're not dressed. I'm not going to purposely go there. I'm not going to pick at 5 o'clock at night on a summer. I'm not going to say, hey guys, let's go preach at the beach. No. Right? I mean, a country concert's bad enough. Yeah, pretty close, isn't it? It's bad enough at a country concert. Right? If these things are not shunned, then sensual words will lodge in the mind and will be weapons in Satan's hand to stir up sinful passions in the heart. So don't read and look at things and things that are worldly and wicked and that speak of fornication. There's articles that I've read about things that are going on in the world. I stop reading them. I just, because they're wicked. I don't like they're perverted. You know what I mean? Even though they're exposing things that are going on, I don't need that much. I get it. Enough said, right? That's why I try to be careful with the things that I bring on my broadcast, even that I don't go too far with it, because I'm like, you don't need to know that. Some of the things that people think are appropriate to talk about, I always erase their comments on my. They'll start talking about using certain words and things like that. I'm like, no, that don't belong here. But they'll be very provocative with it. Some people will. They're desensitized to it. If these things are not shunned, Satan will use them. No one is so strong that he can flirt with temptation and stay unsoiled. You can't flirt with temptation. If you flirt with sin, you're going to sin. It's just the way it is. Multitudes of unsuspecting youth have fallen prey to immorality because they failed to shun wrong words and wrong friendships. In light of the sensual nature of today's music and entertainment, it's no wonder that this generation is experiencing high levels of venereal diseases, illegitimate pregnancies, abortions, divorce. It's an epidemic. Those who fill their minds with immoral words will commit immoral acts. So the principle there is stay away from it as best you can. You're not going to be able to stay away from all of it. I get it. But stay away from it as much as you can. Realize it. Don't let those things, don't ever accept it. Do you understand what I mean by that? You will hear things and you must always, anytime children, when we're out, even preaching or whatever, when we're out in the world and children are exposed or young men are exposed, I say young men or even old men like us, are exposed to sinful things like that, because it will happen. You're not going to be able to put blinders on and walk around. Women dress like sluts. It's just the way it is. I mean, But remember, if a woman's willing to advertise like that, you don't want her. It's gross. If she's willing to show her body off to everybody, run. Amen. Run. Fast. Amen. Run fast. Stay away from them. If they're willing to show their body off to everyone, see, in today's day and age, you can't call anybody a whore. Yeah, I can. I just did. They're a bunch of whores and sluts. That's what they are. And by the way, if you don't like me calling them that, you better be careful because your son might marry one. Amen. They didn't know where this preacher stands on. I just come straight. They dress like a bunch of whores. And you don't want to be married to a whore. That's mean. No, what's mean is getting married to a whore. And then she gets you hooked up with a child, and then she hooks you with child support, and then you're paying it for 25 years after she divorces you, and you actually loved her. But she didn't love you. She loved what you could do for her. And you think I'm kidding. I am dead serious. Serious as a heart attack. Hope I don't have one, but I'm that serious. I'm telling you, and then they'll leave you, and then they make you pay for that kid the rest of their life, but not see it. And hook you up on some charges and say that you're just this terrible guy, that you can't be around your kid alone. You have to have supervised visits, and you play that game. See, that's the other ugly side of not doing things right that people don't talk about. So for a one-night stand and a fling and something like that, you can destroy your entire life. David did. Many people believe with Bathsheba that he got a venereal disease from that. He talks about it. The burning in his bowels and the things that happened from what he did when he slept with Bathsheba. Go read it. It's there. He had a blight that he never got. It was always on him, right? Why? Because he was a child of God and he knew better. Amen. And don't make excuses because he was in the Old Testament. God didn't make any excuses, did he? Did God make excuses for David? Because he said, well, that was an Old Testament, so I mean, didn't look like God said to David, well, David, you're under the Old Testament, so it's cool. No, I don't think so. I think David's child died. I think David had a reproach that was put on him. It split his kingdom. It caused a lot of, his son tried to kill him. There's a lot of, don't play with sin, man. It ain't fun. It ain't cute. It ain't a game. You play with sin, you get burned. Amen. See, I want to rip off the mask and show you the ugliest, nastiest, dirtiest, filthiest part of it. So then you don't say, well, man, that preacher never warned me. He never warned me about, no one ever warned me about how nasty and how wicked a woman or how vile a man could be or anything like, oh no, you were warned. I told you every dirty, rotten, stinking thing that could happen from God's word that God showed very plainly. And if you ignore it, you do it with your eyes wide open. Amen. And by the way, yeah, this is the time for you to pray, God, don't let it happen to me. That's that. Amen. Because I do it all the time. I pray. I ain't ashamed to tell you that. I pray that all the time. Oh, God, don't let it happen to me. You said, but you're a preacher. Why would you pray that? Oh, God, don't let it happen to me. That's why. If you think you got knives out after you, I got tons of them out after me. I know it. Because Satan would love nothing better than to bring me down. Nothing better. And his whole kingdom, and you too. So you could destroy and discourage everybody. Absolutely. I mean, I'm preaching it because I believe it. I'm not preaching it to you because I don't have nothing better to do today. I'm preaching to you because I believe it, and I'm trying to warn you. I'm trying to warn you of the ugliest, most nasty, disgusting, vilest thing that you can ever get yourself into and destroy your life. But you can have the most sweetest thing ever in this life is to be a man and a woman and walk down that aisle in purity and live your lives together for the Lord Jesus Christ and be married 50 years and go home and be with the Lord. Amen. That's what I want. That's what I want for you. That's why I'm preaching it. So I'll just be honest with you. If I preach the slut out of you, if I preach the whore out of you, if I preach the nasty, dirty, wicked, defiling fornication out of your heart that is in there, and the levels of temptation that are there, I'm not doing you a disservice. I'm doing you a good service. Thou shalt be a good minister of the Lord Jesus Christ, nourished up in good words and faith. Amen. I believe that. Yeah. Let me go to your youth meetings. I'll go to your youth meetings and preach this. I'll preach it right to your little happy skippy doo-dah youth meetings. I'd love to go there. I'll even do the old jump rope thing for you and do all the little games you like to play. But let me just preach this message to them. They think Paul Washer's message was something. Right, Brother Paul? I was like, well, my street preachers preach like that every day. What are you talking about? Why was that such a shocking message? Really? Paul says it every day. Paul preaches it every day we go out on the streets. Jacob preaches every day we go out on the streets. I preach every. Grandpa preaches it when he goes out there. mean, shocking youth message. Right, exactly. Yours is from the Word of God, though. You can't do that. What's the matter with you? All right. All right, I'm done picking on them. Okay. For a second. But you have to not listen to her words. Don't listen to her words. I know this is sometimes hard stuff to hear, this straightforward stuff. But listen, you're not growing up, like I said, in Mayberry here, all right? You are surrounded by raging whores, raging fornicators, raging sodomites, transgenders, and institutionalized evil. Do you get it? Institutionalized evil. Very specific evil that wants to take your mind and your conscience and destroy it. And they sell you on a dream that everything will be all right if you just give in to your immorality and your fleshly desires as long as you're happy. No, no. My job is to preach to you as long as you're holy. That's not happy. Because if you're holy and you walk with God, you'll be happy. Terse, I'm telling you. You don't realize the joy that comes from a godly marriage, you young people. You see it in your mom and dad, but you don't understand that it didn't happen overnight. It didn't. People loving each other doesn't, and growing together and learning and loving one another, that won't happen with a fling out there like that. That leads to a lot of devastation and heartache. Can God resurrect and save anybody from it? Yes. That's what his work is to do. But see, here's the difference. You have it now. You have the example now here. You have the right way to go here. They didn't. Many of them didn't. They didn't know any of those things. No one taught them anything. They weren't saved. They didn't have the gospel. They grew up in dead religion. Amen. So they didn't have it. That's why, because people told them, oh, go through this ceremony, be baptized as a baby, do this, do that, be confirmed, do all these other things. So what did they do? They raised up a bunch of hellions. We ain't raising hellions here.
Amen.
That's not what we're doing. So we want to teach you the right way to go so you don't ruin and destroy your life. So when you have that endearing relationship with your wife, and you turn and you look at her, you don't see five other women's faces. Is that too blunt? Am I being... I can't be blunt enough. I can't be. I want... That's my desire. That's what I want for you. For you to have that singleness of heart when it comes to that. And not be... That's why I'm doing what I'm doing. And if I die doing it, I'll go home and be happy to know that at least one or two or three or four listened. And it impacted their lives. And I did what God called me to do. And I preached on the hard thing. And I covered it all. And I didn't leave any stone unturned. I turned them all over. I didn't just rock the boat. I tipped it all the way over. I told you years ago, I don't just rock the boat. I want to tip that whole thing over. Amen. That's what we're here to do, is tip the whole thing over. I don't want you to be deceived. I want you to marry a man that loves you. That's what I want. You young ladies, I want for you to marry a man that sees you and he has stars in his eyes for you and he loves you and he takes care of you for the rest of your life and he treats you like the gold that God has made you to be. And that you treat him like the gold that God has made him to be for you. I believe that, like precious. Precious as rubies, yes. That's what I want for you. You just don't want me to have fun. No, I want you to have fun. I just want you to have it God's way. And you'll enjoy your life and you won't have a conscience marred that you have to just pray through to get up in the morning to get through the day. You won't have to battle those things. I mean that. You don't have to deal with things that you had to deal with in your past. That, yeah, you're forgiven, but the scars are there. I don't want you to have that many. So that's why we say what we say. That's why we do what we do. That's why. We're probably going to have time for one more, and we'll finish the rest of it next week, because we ain't getting through all 6 points, but that's okay. That's okay, because if I have to park somewhere for a while and talk about it, it's fine. because this is important to me. It's very important. See, God showed me when I was over in Europe and I was coming back on a very long plane ride that felt like it took forever. But anyway, 8 hours in that. I think it was sometime during that. I don't know. I had half a brain with me. The other half was somewhere else. But anyway, but one thing that I thought about was the young people more than ever, that if God's going to raise up a godly seed here, they've got to be instructed. They've got to be helped. They've got to be guided. They have to be given everything they need. Their parents have to be given everything they need. And your focus needs to be right there. That's what God showed me. Your focus needs to be right there. You have 40 children right there. Who will be the future preachers and preachers' wives and evangelist wives? And who? Only God knows. But you know what? They're here. I am telling you, they're here. They're here in this room. I believe that. You believe God's going to call some of these young men? Yeah, absolutely. Well, I believe he's called all of them to evangelize out in the streets with us. That's why you're going. And some of you young men that are getting older, you're going to start getting up on that pulpit if you want to, if you believe the Lord will let you. And get up there and just start reading some scripture. Some of you, you're getting older. Amen. Hey, Brother Paul, we got to train them up sometime, don't we? If we don't get them up there, we got to get them up there sometime. Amen. Start speaking a little bit, even if it's starting to read the scriptures, right? That's powerful to lift a man, a young man to give his testimony, to stand up and read the word of God in the open air. That's powerful. That's a testimony right there to the grace of God. Some of you young ones, you're 17, 18, 19 years old. Some of you, it's about time. Amen. Come on. I mean, we got to train them up, don't we?
All right. Man.
Now, not all of them maybe not all of them won't preach up there. That's okay. But you know what? If God so leads you to, you need to get up there and say something. We got to start them sometime, don't we, Brother Jacob? We ain't getting any younger. Right, Jacob? You old. He said amen when I said you're old. I just want you to know that. But amen, we got to start, right? No, they ain't going to get up there and start waxing eloquently and doing all like Paul does. He waxes eloquently with this. He waxes his beard eloquently. And it's up there. I'm just happy I can see his lips now. It's been like 3 weeks. Everybody was like, where's those words coming from? It was just like it was like fur bouncing up and down. It's like, no, they're in there. There's lips moving in there. Some you just can't see. And they're just like going up and down and he's screaming and all you see is this big old beard going like this. Cindy had revival when he shaved his lips off, the fur off his lips. She had a Pentecostal fit or something. It was amazing. It's whole family rejoiced. They saw Paul's lips again. Right, Brother Paul? It's amazing. All right, I better get to point number three. Number three, remove thy way far from her. Look at Proverbs chapter 5, verse number 7 and 8. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh to the door of her house. The time to be most effectively protected from the strange woman is in childhood and youth. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children. It's children. We don't wait until they're 18 years old. No. We start young, right now. Now, if you are 18, praise the Lord. Listen, all right? But we start at a young age, and we teach them at a young age what to look for about those things and who to stay away from and who to be careful of. By the way, you mothers and fathers, but sometimes, you know, maybe more appropriate for a mother to say some things, but sometimes you gotta talk to your daughters about their behavior. I'm not saying. Things about their character, different things about their behavior. And you say, you know, I don't think you should do this, and here's why. Now, don't beat them over the head and insult them. Don't do that. You're not up here preaching on a pulpit where you're preaching loud. Have a discussion with them. Be careful for their feelings. Don't hurt them, right? But explain to them and teach them some things. You know, honey, you shouldn't do this because it's not good for a lady to act this way or to do this. Right? There's some things sometimes between, you know, like even their brothers and sisters, like maybe speak it a little too forward to their brother. right? Just kind of being, you know, bossy kind of, or something like that. You don't want them to develop a habit of speaking to men that way. So you say, you know what? I don't think you should talk to your brother that way like that. I'm not talking about some little runt that's giving them a hard time and they got to deal with it. But like an older brother or somebody, you know, older age or something like that, you want to tell them, you know, you be careful about talking like that, okay? Because it's not ladylike to talk to men that way. You don't want to form a habit of talking to men and being disrespectful. You don't want your daughters to be disrespectful to men. You don't want to teach them that. You want to teach them to respect men. Now, and your son, you want to teach him to respect his sisters, right? Your sons, don't talk to your sister that way. Don't you dare talk to her like that. Don't you treat her like that. She's not a boy. You don't treat her like she's a boy. Amen. I believe that. There's a difference. I don't treat women like I do men, and I don't treat men like I do women, right? There's a difference. There is. I'm not Baphomet, okay? I didn't grow up in some unisex society. I don't believe in that. I believe what the Bible says. There's a difference. Boy, I'll tell you what. We don't have any women around us when we're in a van of guys by ourselves. And we say a lot of things that we're not around women. And there ain't nothing wrong with that either. That's how men talk. That used to be how men talked about around men. They talked about things, right? So what they did. They have some cruder speech around men. Say, well, I don't think you should do that. Really? Well, it's all over the Bible that men talked like men around each other. I'm not talking about being perverted or wicked. I'm talking about just men. And then when you're around ladies, you don't speak that way. There's some things you just don't, we don't talk about. We try not to do that. We try to be careful. But you teach your girls the same way. There's things that they shouldn't say around their brothers. Nope. There's some deportment there. There's some. So you teach those things according to the sexes of how God did that, how God laid that down, all right? It's important that we teach them those things as children, that we start to develop those things in them at a young age so they understand the difference in men and women. Right? Amen. I want my daughters and my son to understand the differences. And you better teach them, otherwise they're going to follow this unisex society that's going on. Well, I don't like that. You can't talk like that. Those women out in the world, they hate that. They get so angry. I'm like, I don't care. You're just angry because you're a raging Jezebel. That's why you're mad. Because I believe there's a difference in the sexes. God made women for a purpose, and he made men for a purpose. He made men a certain way, and he made women a certain way. I'm not going to change my preaching because this world has turned unisex. You get that, right? Like, I realize you have to work around women, and you have to be in the world, and you have to deal with that. But that's not going to change what we believe about it. Like Brother Paul said, he goes, I got to work around women. I just treat them like they're one of my daughters. Like, they're just, that's how I treat them. Caught with kindness, and just treat them like they're, that's how I have to look at them. That's what the Bible says. You look at them as sisters. You know, you look at them as, you don't look at them as objects, or look at them as men. They're women. And unfortunately, you're in a position sometimes where you got to treat them like men. You just have to. You can't show all that compassion and stuff for them like you would. Well, I mean, you can't. It's just, it's rough. It's a rough world. It's the way it is. But God's word doesn't change. And your families are to be ordered after this book, not after the world. So there's churches that they don't preach the differences in those things at all. They don't even talk. They don't touch those finer points. So then they raise a bunch of female males, I call them female men. That's how they raise them. So they're bossy, they're loud, they run their mouth. They talk like men. Yeah, they stand like men, they act like men. And that's the reason why is because they've been raised. That's how they've been raised. So we have to teach them as a child. The father is earnest and fervent in his exhortation here in this chapter. He knows the end of the strange woman, and he knows how clever and enticing she is. And he begs his children to stay away from her. Amen? It's a great privilege to be raised in a godly home, isn't it? And church, to hear this type of preaching and exhortation. A child, as a child, and throughout one's youth, because the best way to protect children from immorality is to teach them carefully from an early age. Prevention is the best cure. Prevent them, keep them from it as best you can by instructing them, right? Safety is in staying far away from her. and not having anything whatsoever to do with her. Remove thy way far from her and come not nigh to the door of her house. The only sure protection from the power of immorality is strict separation. Don't look at immodest women in magazines or in movies and television and internet and stay away from it all. You're going to have the opportunity. You young men, you're going to be out in the world and there's going to be things that are going to be showed to you. You're going to have, some of you are going to have access to computers and you're going to be around and no one's going to, your mom and dad may not be there to watch everything you're doing. But I'll tell you what, if you fill your heart with wickedness, you got no room for God in there. Amen. When you're filled up with evil and wickedness, you got no room for what's right. And you have a blast of temptation and wickedness and vile women that are thrown at you. And everywhere you go and everything you do, you're going to see them. They're going to be strange women all around you. And you are going to have to guard your heart. And you're going to have to guard your mind. And you're going to have to guard your eyes. And young men, you're going to have to learn to look away from seductive women. I'm going to say that to you again. Young men, you're going to have to learn to look away from seductive women. You're going to have to learn to look away from women that are not dressed right. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The Bible talks about the lust of the eyes, and you are going to have to learn to look away from them when you see them. You will be tempted to look at them. Why? Because that's how a man is wired. He is wired to be attracted to a woman. Amen. That's the truth. When he has natural affection, a man is wired to be attracted to a woman. That's the way it works. That's not sinful. It's ordinate. To look at a woman and to look at her beauty, not to lust after her, but just to look at her and notice that that's a pretty woman or something, that's not sinful. When a woman is not dressed properly, you have to look away from her. You're not this like stoic being of like nothing affects you. Like, oh, I'm never going to look at any woman ever in my life. I'm just going to walk around like this all day. That's not happening. You are going to look at women, and yes, you're going to be attracted to what you see. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to tell you things that are not true. I'm not preaching from Jack Hyle's handbook, okay? I'm preaching from the Word of God, and I'm telling you the truth, that is going to happen. But your job is to look away when you see evil. Your job also is to ask God to cleanse your mind of what you just saw and not to meditate on what you just saw, not to take pleasure in the sinful thing that you just saw. Do you understand what I mean by that? So if I see a woman out there and she is not dressed right and her body parts are showing and I look away from her, I say, oh God, I don't want to see that. Please just erase that from my mind. And then I move on and I don't think on that. Do not think and meditate on the evil that you just saw, but you are to cast it down. You are to cast it down and you are to ask God to cleanse your mind from it and to clear you, and you are to think on right things. That's what you're to do. That's your duty. It is not your duty to sit. It is not right for you to look away and then continue to focus and think about what you saw and take pleasure at what you just saw. No, as a young man and as any man, all of us, we have to, if we see those things, we have to cast them down immediately. We're not to lust after them. We're not to lust after evil things. Amen. Come on, this is important. This will help you in life. I'm telling you. Why? Because it starts here in the heart, from the eye gate, and then your hands will follow if you don't get it right. Your heart will follow that. Mine eye affecteth my heart. I'll say it again. Mine eye affecteth my heart. Why? For the daughters of my people. It's your eye that affects your heart. If you see it, it will affect you. If you meditate on it, it will affect you. You are to cast it down. That's why as a young lady, you should do all you can do to dress biblically, to dress modestly, to keep yourself covered, not to wear clothing that is too tight and revealing, to be careful, to be modest. It's important. Why? Because you don't want to be a stumbling block to somebody. And here's what selfish women say. Every selfish woman says, well, that's their problem. They're just perverts. Well, you ain't the pervert for advertising. You're not perverted for advertising? But they're perverted for looking? See, Satan knows that young men, all men, are attracted to women. I mean, it's kind of the way things work. Thank God. I'm glad you're not attracted to men. Right? So when, you know, your son comes up to you and starts talking about that, you're thankful, right? You're thankful. Whew, good. Glad they're attracted to women, but now we have to have an ordinate way of dealing with that. There's a proper way to deal with that. It's not wrong to be attracted. I'm not going to preach to you that it's wrong. Well, it's wrong for you to be attracted to women. No, it's wrong for you to lust after women. It's not wrong for you to be attracted. You should be. That's a normal thing, right? That's a normal thing. But what you do with it can either be ordinate or inordinate. What I do with it is I don't meditate on those things. You're going to notice it, but I'm not going to wickedly imagine things that I should not. I'm not going to use wicked imaginations. I'm not going to do things that are contrary to the will of God for my life. I'm going to focus on what's right. And as a lady, you do all you can do not to be an object of, purposely be an object of lust toward to men, right? You dress modestly. Shame-faced with sobriety, being careful, going the extra mile to be careful. Why? Because you're going to be married to a man one day, and he's going to appreciate your modesty. He's going to be thankful for your modesty. Amen? And all that stuff starts as a young age, as you teach your daughters, as they grow up. We teach them to be modest. By the way, I will tell you this. There is nothing more attractive than a modest woman to a Christian man. I'm not kidding you. To a Christian man that loves the Lord, there is nothing more attractive than a modest woman. There just isn't. Like, most God-fearing men, they'll get repulsed at nasty women that dress like sluts. They just, it's repulsive to them. If you love the Lord, the danger Christian men have is modest women that are dressed right, that do love the Lord, that do, because it is attractive. That's not wrong. It's a beautiful thing. God made women like you're not running around like women and men that don't notice the difference between male and female. We're not androgynous. We understand that. It's teaching children at a young age to do things the proper way and to understand that, yeah, you're going to have those normal feelings and you're going to have those normal things, but we need to deal with them the right way, right? Being careful not to look at immodest women and to turn away from those things, not to go to the places where you know immodest women are going to be dressed, like purposely go there. I mean, like beaches and things like we talked about. Don't hang around those who delight in immorality. If you got people at work and they got filthy mouths, don't enter into their conversations and just do your job. Don't give in to any of that and don't start friendships with wicked men. Don't do that. Stay away from them. Well, I want to be a witness. Well, you can be a witness, all right, by staying away from them. They're going to figure out why. Why are you like that? Why don't you do the same things I do? Then they're going to ask you. Yeah, how come? What are you, Amish or something? No, but I know an Amish assassin. Stay as far away from the dangers as possible because it's a fire that, if entertained, devours and consumes mercilessly. The fires of passion and sin devour. They'll consume you before you know it. And it's merciless. Once that lust comes upon you, it is merciless. It will devour you. The wise young person will treat these things as he would a poisonous snake or a dangerous trap. We're going to finish up with Genesis 39 here. Not the whole chapter, just read a few verses. Verse 7 through 12. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master wanteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath into my hands. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Not sin against Potiphar, but the sin is against God. And he did. He would be sinning against Potiphar as well, but it's God that we sin against. Because Joseph belonged to the Lord. And it came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. He stayed away from her as best he could. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. He ran. You run. Flee youthful lusts. And flee fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Run from them. Don't ever be afraid from running. If you're a young man or young lady and you find yourself in a situation that is not comfortable, leave. Amen. When it's that type of a situation, you go. Amen. It's important. We'll get to the other three steps next week, all right? Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your words. Lord, thank you for all that you do for us, and thank you for just clear instructions from the Word of God. Lord, help us to follow these principles. We want to see a godly seed raised for you, Lord, each and every one of them. Lord, we don't want to lose one of them along the way. We want all of them to be saved, all of them to be baptized, all of them to serve the Lord and surrender to him and have godly marriages, Lord. Please help us to see that happen. Keep us from evil, Lord. Keep us in the narrow way. Help us not to give in to sin. Lord, protect us and guide us. Make us sensitive to sin and evil and wickedness. Help us not to flirt with sin or temptation, but help us to flee youthful lusts which war against the soul. Please, Father, protect all your people. Keep us healthy and safe. Give us a good day in the house of God. And we thank you so much for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.